What's it like to be ready to graduate from Harvard Business School? Let's find out in today's podcast. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for the 154th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can jump up and down and exclaim to the people staring at you, "Yes, I'm in." And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today is Andrea Moore, currently a second-year Harvard Business School MBA student who will very soon be an HBS MBA. A little background about Andrea. She graduated from the University of Cincinnati in 2010 with a degree in marketing and international business. After graduating, she worked as a brand analyst at the Nielsen Company and then in operations at Google. Now, that sounds a little dry, and it definitely is a 30,000-foot overview, but we'll get more detail from Andrea in just a minute. She also interned at Apple this past summer. Andrea, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you. Now, can you give us a little bit more detail? Can you give us an overview of your path to Harvard Business School?
Sure. So as you said, I went to the University of Cincinnati, and when I was there, I studied marketing and international business. So I also interned with the Nielsen Company and felt at the time that it made the most sense to join them full time. So that's where I was a brand analyst, and I loved the work that I was doing. I was able to work with a number of brand managers on different brands for P&G, for Unilever, and a couple of other companies.
Wow.
But what I found is that during a lot of the conversations, there was a big focus on online marketing and social media. And even though I had just graduated from undergrad, I didn't have any courses that really focused on that. So I started to look for other opportunities. And that's how I landed at Google. So my first job at Google was actually on the sales team, working with advertisers and helping them with AdWords, with YouTube, Google Plus at the time, and a lot of the resources that we had at Google to just, you know, help small and medium-sized businesses run advertising campaigns. And then from there, using that experience, I was on that team for about 2 years. I transitioned into marketing at Google to acquire those same types of customers and work a little bit on some new product improvements for the AdWords platform. And then finally, I transition back to my same sales team in more of a sales operations role. So really trying to figure out how to best use our sales team to make sure that we're scaling fast enough, but then, you know, we're also being able to still provide a quality experience for advertisers. And then that's what I did right before I came to HBS.
Okay, so you already had an undergraduate degree in business.
Mm-hmm.
You had fantastic
mm-hmm.
experience at Nielsen and Google. Why did you mm-hmm. want to go? Why did you want to go get an MBA? And why Harvard?
So I think that so leaving undergrad, I was in a number of programs, and one of my program managers for the business school specifically, we had a meeting to talk about future opportunities, and I thought that I would continue on to specialize in marketing and receive like a master's in marketing. And after meeting with her, she explained. She said, "You know what? I think you should work for about 3 to 5 years, and then think about going to business school full-time because it would set you up for future opportunities should you decide to pivot into, you know, different roles outside of marketing." And so I really took heed to that, and so that, you know, that was kind of my main focus. But I will say that in the tech industry, having been in the tech industry for 3 years, there was some pushback on going back to school, but I felt that there were skills that I didn't have, specifically around finance and financial modeling, accounting, and then also some general management skills and strategy that I just hadn't had exposure to based on my experience. So probably those are the key reasons why. And then when looking at schools, I really wanted to go to a school that focused on general management. So HBS is definitely there and was one of my top schools. But I also applied to other schools as well. I applied to quite a few, but knew that HBS would be the best fit.
Okay. And what did you find most difficult in the application process? Think back.
probably managing the application process. I'll start with that, just because there's a number of components that you have to put a lot of time into. So the GMAT, I took the GMAT twice to make sure I had a competitive score. I did some self-study and then also took an in-person class. And so once that was knocked out of the way, I spent a lot of time really thinking about who should do my recommendations.
Okay.
And making sure that they knew, you know, they had managed me before, they had experience with, you know, my performance. The essay was also one that I felt was, you know, pretty difficult because, at least for HBS, the question was fairly broad.
Right.
Looking at the different, like the essay guide that, the Harvest provides.
Sure.
It seemed like a lot of essays were successful and they were all across the board. And so I feel like that was also, you know, a pretty tough part of the application.
We actually have on the site one of the sample essays provided by Harvest and in the Harvest Guide, and I'll link to that in the show notes at accepted.com/154, as well as to our interview with Alula Shete, who is the product manager at Harvest and also had insights on the application process. But going back to your experience, Andrea, how long did you allow for writing the essays? Like, and once you had your GMAT score and you knew you were applying, like, when did you start mm-hmm. writing the essays? I'm just curious.
I applied round two, so that was due
first week
right
of
after
January.
New Year's.
Right.
Yes. And so I started probably in October.
Wow.
To be honest, I did like a rough draft. I had a number of people review it. Some of my close friends from undergrad actually reviewed my essay. I also had my mom uh-huh. review it. And then I was also a part of the MLT program. And so
sure.
I had my coach review my essay as well. And so having, I think, those three different viewpoints of people who know me in different lights and making sure that my true voice was still coming through, even after doing multiple revisions, I think was really, really helpful.
Okay, great. Yeah, I normally recommend about having two or three others review the application, where I think it gets kind of dangerous if somebody posts it on Facebook and has all their Facebook friends review it. Then I think
no.
it can be a little confusing. I hear it. Now, when you interviewed at HBS, what was the most memorable and or most difficult question you were asked?
Let's see. The interview was very high stress, and so coming into it, I had, you know, looked up a number of the questions, and probably the hardest one was the fact that my reason for coming to business school, I explained to you all, but I also talked about wanting to transition to brand management. Mm-hmm. And so the interviewer said, well, you know, you went to the University of Cincinnati, P&G is right down the road. Why didn't you just go straight to P&G? And so being able to have a very strong answer to that question was a little difficult, right? Because I had to really think about, they were down the street, they did come to campus and speak, they did come to campus and recruit, so why wasn't I there? So being able to answer, I think, that question, and then along with, you know, a host of number of why questions, and mm-hmm. being able to make sense of the why was the most difficult part of the interview.
And it was, and if you think about that question, that is a question that's very, very specific to you. It's not,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
it's not a generic kind of question that could be asked of every single person. Now, you mentioned that it was a high-stress interview. Was it a high-stress interview because the stakes were high, you're either in or out, or was it a high-stress mm-hmm. interview because of the questions you were being asked, or both?
Honestly, I would say it was both. So, mm-hmm. Going into it, you different schools weight the interview differently, but, sure. you know, for HBS, you know that once you make it to the interview round, it's really yours to lose, right? And so I was stressed going in, and then and once you're in the interview, questions are fired off really fast, mm-hmm. and they're all about you. And so you would think, you know, I know myself really well, but they're looking at your essay, your recommendations, everything you put on your application, your resume, you know, anything they have on you, they're firing off questions. And so making sure that you're able to stay confident and authentic and, you know, provide the answer that they're looking for is also, you know, I think them also pushing you to make sure they're getting getting to know you very quickly.
Is it providing the answer that they're looking for, or is it more about providing an authentic, thoughtful answer to the question that they're posing? Do you really think they're looking for a specific answer?
Well, I think they're looking for the answer. I think they're looking for you to be who you say you are in your application. Mm-hmm. And so you do want to be authentic and you do want to be truthful. And that's definitely true. But what they're looking for is they are looking for that, right? So they want to make sure that, you know, they've read all this stuff about you and that the answers that you're providing are really confirming everything that they've read about you up to that point.
Okay. Do you remember what you wrote about in your interview reflections, or you don't remember?
Because I thought the PNG question was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I spent time addressing that. Like I at the time I didn't know if I answered that question well or not, to be honest, but I was.
Sure.
And so I addressed that question with a little bit more detail and thought around it. And then I also wrote a quick thank you to the two interviewers that were in the room. And I had asked a few questions at the end of the interview as well. So just thanking them for taking the time, but then also answering the questions that I had and, you know, was hoping to see them in the fall.
Okay, great. What really surprised you about life at Harvard? So now you're in, you've gotten through the gauntlet, you're in.
So something that I don't think I considered when I was coming into business school that I quickly learned is that due to the section experience, you really get a chance to understand how people think. And so it's not just the cases and reading about different companies. It's not, you know, you hear about the case method and that's a great way of learning. And I definitely think it is, but it's the answers that your classmates are providing and the reasoning behind those answers that I like picked up on right away. And it just showed me that we all approach problems differently, right? So some people would start their comment with the numbers. If there were, you know, exhibits in the case, they're straight for the numbers. Some people would think about the customers first.
Sure.
If it was, you know, a marketing case. Some would think about the industry at a very high level. And so learning how different people think has just been really valuable because it helps you create better arguments when you're preparing those cases. Because you want to be able to see a full scope and really be prepared when you're going to class.
That's fascinating insight. Thank you. Now, has Harvard met your expectations? Is it as good as it seems from the outside when you're on the inside?
I would say yes. I would say okay. That it is. you know, because if you think about it, business school is very expensive. The cost is expensive, but then you have the opportunity cost where you're not working for 2 years. And so the value I would say is probably beyond that, to be honest. And I think it's due to the relationships that I've built. I've met some of my best friends here, the opportunities to hear from different speakers, CEOs, VPs visiting class, and then also, you know, hosting coffee chats or lunch sessions afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to reach out to alums. So I did that a little bit during the recruiting process to learn more about different companies, also to get help on applying to different companies. And I wasn't sure if I would, you know, necessarily get a response, but most of the time people responded and were happy to chat. And that just, I don't know, it just made me feel like I was part of this community and part of this family that I would have, you know, from now until, you know, throughout my career going forward.
Okay. Now, can you tell us about your field experience? What did you do? Where did you go? Any takeaways? And for those who aren't familiar with it, FIELD stands for Field Immersion Experiences for Leadership Development.
Sure. So I went to Peru, and during my time there, I worked with a client, and they're called Bembo's, which is a fast food hamburger chain that's very popular in Peru. And the problem that we were presented with was how to prepare their business for the next 5 years. And so leading up to FIELD, we had, you know, calls with them. We received some of their company data. We did research on our own, tested out some of our recommendations and some solutions here in the U.S. before we left. and then went down there and had a true deep dive into their business. So we were able to visit the their food processing center. We went to a number of the Bimbo locations, and then we actually present our recommendations to the senior leadership team. And it was just such a great experience to be able to have that level of exposure, especially in a different country where we weren't the experts, right? But being able to prepare and be really thoughtful, and then for them to tell us afterwards that they actually are going to implement some of our recommendations was great.
Wonderful. It sounds like a fascinating experience. Are they using your recommendations, mm-hmm. do you know?
So they said that they are. We haven't had a call with them this year, but we did have a check-in in the spring last year.
Okay, great. Now, what is something you wish you had known about the field experience when you arrived at Harvard before you started it?
I wish I had known that even though you prepare as much as possible here in the U.S., here in Boston, that there's nothing like being on the ground down there.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that maybe they did tell us that as we were working on the project, but I don't think that you feel it until you get there, because you're assuming, okay, we had a fast food restaurant, so we were assuming we know, you know, fast food, we know some of the trends that are happening. Let's just try to apply it to the Peruvian market. And really the time down there, being there in person helped us really crystallize and finalize a lot of our recommendations and make sure that it had a local lens on it, mm-hmm. after just talking to people and being there.
That's very interesting. Okay, great. Now, you are towards the end of your second year as we speak at Harvard Business School.
Yes.
How has the second year, and what I think is also known as EC or elective curriculum, differed from mm-hmm. the first year or RC and the required curriculum?
I would say it's completely different.
Okay.
The case method still holds true. So, you know, I'm still reading cases, still focused on, you know, class participation and doing that. However, the second year, you have a lot more freedom with your schedule. So first year, everyone's taking the same classes. Everyone's doing the same cases, the same time schedule. I mean, everything is pretty set. For the second year, you can take a lot of different elective courses, both here at the business school as well as other graduate schools. So you can focus, you know, different ways, and then you can also decide what time you want to have those classes. There's also opportunities to do independent projects. It's just completely different, I would say. And so I liked it so far because I've been able to pick courses that I'm really interested in. So I'm interested in technology. I've taken a few technology classes. I'm also interested in retail and marketing, so I've taken those classes as well. And it's just been a great experience, I would say both years, but just as far as classes go, it's pretty different.
Okay. Now, Harvard is, of course, famous for being a case method school, but mm-hmm. incorporating, especially in the second year, and in the first year, you now have the field experience. In the second year, is there more experiential learning? Is that kind of creeping its way into the curriculum, or is it still exclusively case?
So there are more experiential courses. So mm-hmm. fall semester, I took Product Management 101. Mm-hmm. I'm going into product management full time, so I thought it would be a great class for me to take.
Yeah.
And there aren't any cases, actually. So we pair up with different project teams and actually work on an existing business to create a mobile app. And so we had product managers that came and spoke to us for different class sessions. We did usability testing. We learned all about wireframing, all of those things that you would need in order to launch an app. I also took another course over winter break that is similar to field, but specifically for second years. And I traveled to Ethiopia and Tanzania, and instead of being partnered with a company, I was actually partnered on a project idea. And so
wow.
the course was building cities. And so what does it take to build a city in a developing country, and how are governments thinking about what resources they can provide, you know, companies, international companies coming into the country, and then as well as sparking innovation with their current population that they have. So that was really interesting. It was a great
time. Must have been fascinating.
Time.
Sounds like a fascinating
book. Yeah. I loved it. I loved it.
And what do you see as the key benefits of the case method now that, again, you're almost finished with it?
Mm-hmm. I would say just I think the biggest thing is you feel like you have to be very prepared when you go to class. So reading the case, knowing the numbers, doing any, you know, calculations you need to do, and just really be prepared for anything, especially for the cold call that may or may not come. You definitely want to make sure you're prepared. And then the question is usually about your opinion. So if you agree with something, you should have, you know, facts to back it up. Sure. And then be ready for pushback from either your professor or from other people in the class. And so I think it just prepares you to think, to have a baseline of knowledge, but be able to think on your feet and, you know, be able to, you know, have ideas and be able to back up your thoughts.
Okay. Now, there have been rumors out there that you need a lot of money for the social life and extracurriculars at HBS, that it's elitist. Have you found that to be true or not?
I think that business school is definitely expensive across the board. So there are some activities that I haven't participated in because I've just chosen that I didn't want to spend my money on them. But then there's also been opportunities that I've taken that I have spent money on. So I don't think that you have to have a lot of money or have to, you know, take out additional loans to kind of keep up with the spending. There is opportunities to do things that are not super expensive. So I think it's more of a personal choice. I have friends who travel every weekend, who, you know, spend a lot of money on different things, and that's great. And they have, you know, a great time, but, you know, I'm also a person who didn't want to do that. And I still have had a really good time as well.
Okay, great. What did you do this past summer between your first and second years?
I interned as a product manager with Apple Retail. And for me, that decision was based on the fact that I loved the tech industry and I wanted to go back. But I also wanted to take on a different role to have more oversight into how products are built, how they're marketed, how they're managed. And then also learn about e-commerce and retail. So I felt that Apple was perfect in that aspect, that they have a strong retail presence, but they're also great at building products. So I had a pretty busy summer. I was able to work on an exciting project and did fairly well. And so I'm returning them full time after school.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So you're almost finished, right? You're almost there. What's it like to be ready to graduate from Harvard Business School?
It's a little scary. I would say after spring break, it really hit me that I would only have about 6 weeks left. Uh-huh. And so it's, you know, it's an exciting time, but I know that these last few weeks will really be the last time that I'll be together with all of my close friends. I'm moving to the Bay Area. Some are moving to New York, Chicago, London, sure. Across the board. And so I've really been trying to focus on scheduling lunches, scheduling dinners to really get those last little bit of time in with them. And we'll see what happens. I'm sure either way, I'll miss them a ton. But, you know, it is coming to an end pretty fast.
Besides the people, anything else that you think you'll miss from your time at HBS when you're at Apple or just in general when you leave HBS?
Yeah, I think it's a unique time to be able to be around so many smart people and to hear so many diversity and thoughts across different industries that you don't get exposure to every day in the work environment. So I'll definitely miss that. And then also, you know, just having the time off work, I would say. So definitely was really busy in school, but it's really a time where you can reflect and kind of think about who you want to be as a person and what you want to do in your career. And I don't think you get that chance. Typically don't get that chance when you're working full time.
Right.
On the set as well.
I've asked this question of several recent alumni and they all answered that. That just the opportunity to not so much to kick back because I think you're quite busy, but to have a certain time to reflect on what they want to do, how they want to do it, how they want to live their lives, they all commented on that, which I thought was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very true.
Yeah, and it is a unique opportunity. Any last words of wisdom for MBA applicants considering an application to Harvard Business School? And now I'm talking more about those considering an application coming up in fall 2016.
I think the biggest thing is to really know yourself, and that has to be throughout the application, through your essays, you know, making sure that the essay that you turn in is truly a representative of yourself. Also, the people who you ask to write recommendations, it doesn't have to be the CEO of your company or the VP of your company. It can be someone who has managed you and can really speak to your output and the results that you're providing. So be authentic and just be yourself.
Good. Okay, Andrea, I think we're just about finished. Where can people keep up with you? Any social media hangouts you'd like to share?
Sure. So I'm most active on Twitter. So you can find me at Andrea Moore, and that's AnnDreaMoore. And I would love to have you guys follow me.
Sounds good. We'll include that link in our show notes at accepted.com/154, as well as resources that we have for HBS applicants and more recent interviews that we've had with HBS students and grads. Listener, thank you too for joining Andrea Moore and me for Admission Straight Talk's 154th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk, especially if you leave a shiny 5-star feedback. But we'll take whatever you feel is appropriate. There's a link in the show notes at accepted.com/154 to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.